Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I mean, I'll sit back down. You know, Madam Perry loves a good dance break, so I get to play like I'm a go-go dancer again, like I used to be when I was younger and needed the money. I still need the money. Anyway, welcome to Madam Perry Salon. Now, for anyone who is new here, welcome, and I want to say to everybody listening, everybody on the show, if you would, click follow so you can follow me here on the Blog Talk Radio, and we're also available on iTunes. That's a free download, and follow that, because I am fortunate, I am blessed to know some of the most fascinating, the coolest, most interesting and talented people on the planet, and I bring them here to share with you and introduce to you for your entertainment. But to keep it going, you know, I need some sponsors. So the more followers I have showing here, the more sponsors I can get, attract, and the more cool people like tonight's guest I can bring to you. Now, every now and then, Madam Perry Salon, well, if you're new, let me explain. Madam Perry Salon began as a blog, and the name came about because I was always fascinated by the arts, cultural salons of Europe, the United Kingdom, and Asia back a couple of centuries ago. But there would be some woman who was a wealthy patroness or whatever, and she would always have authors and artists, musicians, come into her home and have a salon where everybody could meet, share their new work, play their music, read from their latest work, books, whatever, and just absorb and exchange ideas from each other. So I wanted something like that. But now I can do this here in cyberspace, so that way I can have people from London, like I'm going to have tonight, people from Tennessee, Texas, Georgia, people from, I think I've got somebody from far away in San Diego that's going to be calling in tonight, too, one of our favorite people here on Madam Perry Salon. And so think of it as a cultural art salon here in cyberspace. It began as a blog, but now it's a podcast. But every now and then, we do a special episode called The Unusual Suspects. I'm trying to give each one a different name. Tonight is The Unusual Suspects Ride Again. And that is where I bring some of my favorite people, some that you've met before and some that are brand new to you. And these are not the usual suspects. These are my unusual suspects. And it is a panel of some fascinating folks, all different walks of life in different parts of the arts in the world. And we just talk about their work, what's going on, and then we might just discuss issues of the day, maybe politics, maybe pop culture, some news events, just wherever it takes us, kind of like a cocktail party in cyberspace. So tonight, though, I want to introduce, I've got a co-host tonight, and she is an author. She's out on a book tour, actually, and she, for all full disclosure, is also my client. You know, I'm an entertainment publicist, and today she's going to be actually at Barnes & Noble in Macon this Saturday, but today I just booked her into a Barnes & Noble in Asheville, North Carolina, which will be on March 19th, where she's going to be reading from and signing her novel, Finding Tambry. Please meet my co-host and dear friend, Sherry Meeks. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'm so happy and privileged to be here on the show again. I really do enjoy being part of your show whenever you ask me to come on, always. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much.
I know some cool people, don't I?
Yes, you really do. You really do.
Now, Sherry, I was going to ask you, now you're going to be this weekend at the Barnes & Noble, and we've been putting all over Facebook, they dedicated an entire window to your book, Finding Tambry, which has got to have been a very surreal type of experience.
It absolutely was. I walked up to the window, and actually my mom was with me, and we just kind of stood there for a few minutes looking at it, and there's books all over the front, and the poster that says that I'll be here this coming, you know, I'll be there this coming Saturday, and it is very surreal. Even walking through the store, it's on the same row. My favorite book is To Kill a Mockingbird, and then just three little sections down from that, my book is in there too, you know, it's so close to that book. it was just, it was amazing. It makes me want to write more and do more and make things like that happen again.
Well, you better, because this is a good gig for me, okay? A really good gig for me promoting you. So we've got a lot of cool people. We've got some of our regular unusual suspects and a couple of new ones on tonight. So I would like for, if you would, do the honor of introducing the first guest. And this is someone coming to Madame Perry's Salon all the way from London, England.
I'm so happy to present Tino Orsini. Tino is an actor, director, and podcaster. Tino trained in the UK and in Los Angeles with the Stella Adler Conservatory. His stage credits include works by Shakespeare, Eugene O'Neill, and Aristophanes. And his latest feature film is Mona, directed by Anthony Abua. It's actually in competition at the Africa Film Festival in Belgium and Luxor, Egypt, as well as directing. He also acts, and he hosts an award-nominated weekly arts podcast, rightly titled The Tino Orsini Show. So, Tino, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Lovely to be here with you all, you guys. Thank you.
Well, yes, welcome, Tino. I am so excited to have you here. And that's quite an impressive resume. It seems like I keep finding out more and more fascinating things about you. How do you?
Yes.
I don't know how you've had time to do it all, but we're going to get it out of you now.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a pleasure to talk to you and have this opportunity to share my work with everybody, with all your listeners, and I'm really excited.
So how long have you been an actor?
I started at school plays when I was very young. I've always had the acting bug, if you like, but I started professionally around sort of the age of 19, 20 years of age, when I moved to Los Angeles and started training with the Stella Adler Conservatory and ventured into the crazy world of show business, and I haven't looked back.
And you sound... To be in the crazy world of showbiz, you sound so calm and so relaxed, Tino. I love that.
Yes, it's all a facade. It's all a facade. So.
You're a really great actor.
Yes, I'm a really good actor. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And you went to the Stella Adler.
Yeah.
Conservatory. So you know, we've got Stella.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've read Shayna Ochoa's book, Stella. But I met her at a book expo, I think, year before last, and she wrote a book, the biography of Stella Adler. Have you read that one?
No, I haven't. I haven't. I had the pleasure to do that, no.
Well, I'll tell
I'd
you what. Shayna is going to be a guest on Madame Perry Salon and probably next month. So when she's on, I'd love to have you come on and talk with her since you're the only
one I'd love
that.
Yes. I'm there, definitely. That's great. Thank you so much.
It's a fantastic story, so you know a lot about her. What was it like being there at the...
I never met the great lady herself. I started training there, and she'd just been in L.A., but she'd gone back to New York where she lived, so I never met her. But all the other tutors, of course, talked a lot about her, I'd love to have met her, but... from what I know of her, she was one of the great pioneers for movie and theater actors, you know, all over the world. With, you know, she was one of the originators of the method and Stanislavski method, and taught the greatest actors who ever lived, like Brando and to be in that school for me was just the most surreal experience ever. And it's from London, you know, coming over to Hollywood and training with that particular method. It was an amazing experience.
I can only imagine. And you know what? You're also going to find out when she's on the show, and especially if anyone reads the book. I did not know until then how much work she had done undercover, rescuing Jewish people.
Amazing.
From Germany. So, you know, there were a lot of actors and performers who used their position and their fame and the way they could get in and out of places because of their fame. to rescue people. So, and even though it was, could have been certainly at their peril, they did it.
Yeah.
So,
very true.
Yeah.
They took great risks and put their own lives in danger in order to save others, which how noble and how courageous is that?
Amen. Well, listen, I don't know what you think of this, Tino, but there's an author named Robert Leland Taylor who has been here in Madame Perry's Salon, and he said, I don't know how it looks to you looking around here, but he said that Madame Perry's Salon looks like the inside of Genie's bottle. What do you think? From I Dream of Genie? What do you think?
Inside a Genie's bottle? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, look at that. You don't got all these cushions in here, the beaded curtains. But I think it works, don't you? Okay.
I wish I could see it.
Well, I'll turn up the lights so you can see it, but you are in here.
It's always very comfortable. It's always very comfortable here.
Yeah, we've got some candles. Just grab you a couple of pillows and just settle in. All right, well, I've got two more here in the bottle already that I want to introduce to you. I'm going to introduce one, and then Sherry's going to introduce the next. The next person I want to introduce has been on the show more than once. The first time she came here was back in October when I was having all of the artists from the Macon Music CD. And this is a CD that a musician and producer and owner of Shadow Sound Studios, Joey Stuckey, talked the great town of Macon, Georgia, into doing. Macon is the home of so much musical talent. Otis Redding, Richard, and just so many people. But he wanted to say, there's still great music coming out of Macon now. So we talked the city of Macon called Newtown Macon into creating a CD, and people competed to be on it. And it was, there are 8 artists or bands got on the CD, and they give it away free as part of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. You can download it from newtownmacon.com. And one of my favorite people on it, this woman's voice just wowed me. It reminds me of Anita Baker when we first heard her. And she's on here. She was on that Macon Music CD with the song Sleeping with the Past. And I've had her on here before. And I'd like to introduce Kim Meeks.
Hello. Kim. It's so lovely to be here with the great Madame Perry.
Thank you, darling. Thank you. And you know my co-host, Sherry Meeks, right?
Yes, I believe I do know her. I think we've met on a rare occasion.
I think she borrowed your clothes for the show. But anyway, don't worry about that. And meet Tino Orsini.
Hi, Tino. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Great. Thank you. And as you probably guessed, Sherry Meeks is my sister.
Yes.
So I'm very pleased and honored to call her my sis. So yes. So
okay.
It's on here to be on Madame Perry's show with her as well. Hey, Sherry.
In fact, recently Sherry had a book event at a place called Battery Park Book Exchange in Asheville, which is one of my favorite places. It's a big bookstore, very high. It's like new and used. They've got a coffee bar. They've got a champagne and wine bar. You can bring in dogs as long as the owners are well-behaved. And Sherry had a book event there where she was reading and signing. But also, we were able to have Kim there to play some of her original music, before and after. So that was really special. And she's creating an EP. And let's go to get all these people in, all the cool people in. Becky. Oh, wait just a minute. Wait. Okay. I was going to have Sherry introduce this person, but I'm going to do it. You know why? Because I just love to give this woman a hard time. not really. But let me just say this. This next guest that you see skulking around the studio, she was born on Friday the 13th, which explains why she loves black cats. If you see any picture of her, she's always got a black cat on her shoulder. She loves horror. She writes horror, suspense, paranormal, urban fantasy fiction, and she'll read anything she can get her hands on, just like me. She's a well-respected editor, a top Amazon reviewer, and the author. She's put together several anthologies, but she's also the author of a new book called Fanny and Dice, as well as a book she put together, an anthology she helped put together, well, several actually. One was called Under a Dark Sign. That's all of horror and suspense. But then she put together one that's very special to me. It's called Tales from the Front Line, with all stories about dogs and warriors, dogs and service people. And the proceeds go to help train dogs to help wounded warriors. And that is our favorite pal, Rebecca McFarlane Kyle, but she lets her inner circle of Madam Perry Salon call her Beckaroo Becky Kyle. Becky, come on in.
Hey there. How is everybody?
Good. How are you,
Becky? I'm good. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. You know Sherry, I think Sherry Meeks and Kim Meeks. You don't know Tino Orsini, but you're going to get to know them on the show. And then Sherry, Becky, we're going to talk about all of your stuff. Fanny and Dines, how's it doing?
It's doing fine. It broached the top 100 in science fiction and fantasy Greek mythology this last week, and that made me excited.
And congratulations, honey. I'm proud of you. If you give us a nutshell what it's about.
Indeed. Persephone decides that she's tired of being in the underworld, and she hasn't been called up to bring spring to the world for quite a while. So she decides to crawl up out of hell, and she takes her cousin Eurydice with her. They land in the weird Wild West, and all kinds of hijinks ensue.
Oh, hijinks.
That's
a code word for what?
Yeah, we've got some serious interference going on here.
Do you? Okay. How about everybody else?
A little bit of static.
A little bit? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, is it on you? Does everybody else hear any kind of static or interference, or is it just Becky?
Yeah, I'm hearing
a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing some noise and some banging. I wasn't sure what it was.
Okay, I
kind of figured Jennifer was practicing the cymbal tonight.
Oh, you know, it might be Parker. Parker's tearing up. No, I haven't set my drum kit up in a while. In fact, it's in Atlanta. But I think it's Parker tearing up a box because he does that when it's storming. So the way to keep him from tearing out down the drywall is to convert him to tearing up a cardboard box when he's nervous over thunderstorms. So I think Parker's a dog, Tino.
Right.
Okay, I don't want you to think of my child or my husband or anything.
Is he having stage fright or something tonight since the program's on?
No, it's just the weather does that to him. He was outside dog before we got him. He was chained to a tree, so he's probably in a lot of thunderstorms. That's
And that's one thing about you, Becky. You're a big, big animal person, correct?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. My sister and I are too, Kim. We have two rescue dogs, and I'm sure how many pets do you have, Becky? And you've also, you know, you've tried to bring about money to help pets. So tell us about that.
The anthology is called Tales from the Frontlines, and it is dedicated to providing funds for TADSAW, Train a Dog, Save a Warrior. It's an organization that helps wounded warriors, you know, of course, war veterans, police, and emergency service personnel with PTSD and TBI and similar injuries obtain service dogs to help them recover and reenter back into society.
Wow. That's a pretty great endeavor.
Indeed.
How much have you raised? Do you know how much you've raised so far?
I don't know. I haven't talked to the publisher lately, so I have no idea. You know, proceeds from every book sale go to that charity, and we're working very hard to get more sales, and we're working hard to get awareness raised as well, because, you know, the theme of the stories is kind of to develop empathy for people in the situation of recovery.
Right.
Dealing.
Right.
In fact, we did a show about this book and the situation on Veterans Day. In fact, actually, Becky pulled the whole show together with people who had submitted things for the book, and some people read from the book or read their stories. So we think that's a very underserved population, you know, the veterans. But I do want to bring in somebody else that's sitting here in Madame Perry's salon, and if I don't do something, she's gonna. If I don't call her into the conversation, she's probably going to redecorate the place and start up a new show, and I don't know what else. She is known.
She's going to feed your dog something besides the box.
Well, she might do that too, because this is, you know, I told somebody, you know, my best friend and I are such opposites. You know, I said, you know, I'm such a crabby curmudgeon. She is just so full of love and positivity. And they go, well, opposites attract. She is the Queen Diva of Atlanta, Georgia. She is the host of Through the Looking Glass in the Kingdom, which is about a children's show about children's books and authors and music, and it's on Saturdays podcast. She is also the producer and host of Everything Relationships. She is a professional life coach, which, believe me, I've known her 16 years. This is what she was born to do, to be a life coach and be a radio host. She is the BFF, Queen Diva for real. Kenya Colbert.
Hi.
Yay, Kenya.
Okay,
so, hi, Kenya.
Hi, guys. You know why she's my BFF now, right? Nobody could make what you do sound so good.
Kenya, I've
known
you a long time.
So good.
Look, you've known
me
16 years, and you're still my friend, so, you know.
Guys, if you know Jennifer, you know that she plays this. She'll say sometimes, Jennifer will say, I'm not as mean as I look. And I'm like, you never looked mean to me a day in your life. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but then she turns around and sticks a shiv in, you know. It's kind of like, what the?
Becky, please. Not a element
of surprise.
And we thought,
hi,
guys. Well, I was just sitting
we
in her favorite bejeweled pillow.
You what now?
I said, and we thought that Tina was the only actor on the show.
No.
I have enjoyed listening to you guys so far. I'm, you know, I love a gentleman in the room, so that was that just ushered me right on in, and I sat on down on one of these big genie pillows, and I am at home with the girls now and with the handsome gentleman. Hello, guys.
Hello, Tina.
Tina, you think If you hadn't come in the room, Kenya would not have come on the show. Even though she says she's my best friend, she would not have come in. That's all. Well, thank you, Tina.
I'm glad Tino's here. I'm glad Tino's here.
I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm here, too.
Well, she's the only person you don't know, Kenya, isn't it? You know Becky. You know.
Exactly.
You know Sherry, you know Kim, but you don't know Tina Orsini, but you...
Hi.
Know
him. How are
Hello,
you?
And I am fine. How are you?
I'm very well, very well. Yes, it's very cold in London, but I'm doing great. I'm warm inside.
Good.
Oh, my God. Talk to me all day with that voice. Yes.
Indeed, please.
I love it. And hi, Kim and Sherry and Becky and all my friends.
Kenya, big hug. Big hug to you sitting next to you on the genie couch.
Hey,
oh,
Kenya,
yes.
You look so good, girl. It's good to see you.
Thank you. You know what this feels like, right? I don't know if you guys remember this, but this is what I feel like right now. It's like that romper room classroom when she says, and I'm looking through and I can see you and you and you. How are you today?
That's great.
I remember that. I know what you're talking about.
Just being with your friends. You guys have really been talking about some interesting things. I'm loving the conversation. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you know, thank you for being here, Kenya. I know you're a busy woman, and I can't believe you've made some time for me. And I miss you a bunch. You know, I put a picture on the little slideshow here. I put a picture of Tino, his shot with his show on it. I put pictures of Becky and pictures of everybody. And I put a picture of you and me, Kenya.
Yes. I've got to go and look at the pictures.
But just don't leave the room yet. Just stay here. So I don't know where to begin, except that maybe since this guy's brave enough to stay here with all of this femaleness in the room, I think we should go ahead and focus on Tino and find out more about his acting career and his films and his life. Tino?
Yeah.
Where should we get started? Let's talk about the film Mona.
Oh, well, okay, yeah. I mean, it's I was asked to audition by Anthony, who's done some wonderful work in the past, and I got the role, and I play a Portuguese ambassador called Pedro, and it's based loosely based on some true events. In the early 70s, there was an attempt to assassinate the prime minister, and so I can't wait. I haven't seen it yet. I mean, I can't wait to see it. So I'm going to be hopefully going to Belgium, or possibly even Egypt, to check the film out. If the film festivals, the Africa Film Festival in Belgium, and the Luxor Film Festival in Egypt. So I really don't. I mean, if it's anything like his previous films, we're in for a really good couple of hours or so of entertainment.
But you said you were asked to audition. You were invited to audition.
Yeah, he'd I'd worked on another film with Anthony, and he'd seen some of my work and online and on YouTube or whatever, and he asked me, would I be interested I think he asked me to audition, or just a conversation about the film and stuff, and so I just jumped to it, and we shot it last year. It was about last year this time. It was about February, March, that we shot it in London, and now it's ready to be shown. So it's in competition at the film festival. So fingers crossed, for everybody. We all worked really, really hard on it. And Anthony's a fantastic director.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
I hope they definitely win. But you had mentioned before the show started that you also moved over recently to directing. And
yes.
I think you said you had your first theatrical,
that's right,
it was an Italian play that you directed. Tell us about that.
I had no idea. I mean, talk about going to the dark side, of directing. I've been acting all my life. I get on a set, I feel at home. But I don't know what induced me to try directing, but God, what a learning curve. I chose this play. It's a very famous play back home in Italy. It's by Eduardo De Filippo, who's a prolific playwright. So I chose one of his most famous comedies about an ex-prostitute who's been living with a man for the 25 years or so, and who now claims to be dying, just to basically get his name on the contract. And also, she has another flash. She says she has three sons, and one of them is his. So it's based. It's all about age and family and illegitimacy, but it has a lot of comedic elements to it. So I directed it, I produced it, I cast it. I had a wonderful team, and I had a wonderful cast. It was 10 actors who we had very extensive audition process, and I think we made the right choice in all the actors. They were just wonderful, and I had a lovely production team, an assistant director, stage manager, production manager, and many friends who helped out on various things. I had no idea it would be so time consuming, and
mm-hmm.
just really I put everything into it, and I was very pleased with the result. I mean, we got some great reviews, and we had a good run in the off West End theatre here in London, and I think we should all be proud of it. I think It was a really good show. Very emotional. People were coming up saying, "Oh my God, I was in tears," or people saying, "I was laughing my head off in that scene." And So it was very satisfying. It was very satisfying. But boy, was it tough work, directing. Boy,
take my hat off to any directors
or all producers out there who are listening. I mean, wow, I had no idea.
But you're going to do it again, aren't you?
Yeah.
Not anytime soon. I will do it eventually, but I wouldn't want to do the, you know, I would want to just direct and not produce it, and, you know, have just the one head on my shoulder and not try and do everything else.
Right. Too many hats to wear at one time.
Too many hats, way too many hats. So yes.
Can you tell us some of your favorite highlights, I mean, even in the production or on the play, some of your favorite moments or like epiphanies with an actor grabbing something or...
There was the leading character, Filomena, she, I mean, a wonderful actress, English actress by the name of Catherine Worth, and she, I was there every night for the whole run, literally I was there every night, apart from one night where I had to go up to Manchester for a podcast, a ceremony, which I was nominated for my podcast, but that was the only night I missed. But every night she had one monologue where she talks about her past and she's basically talking to the Virgin Mary in Naples is very Catholic, very religious, quite superstitious. So there were elements of that in that monologue. And she got me every night. I was just like, oh, my God, I couldn't hold back the tears. You know, it's just so emotional.
Wow.
So I remember that particular monologue she did every night. I was just like, wow. It was just amazing. But just there were so many things. I mean, the audition process, I mean, we saw so many great actors. I mean, I can't remember how many. We must have seen over 100, if not, I don't even know how many were there. But... Some actors were, you know, we had to make some really tough decisions, and like I said, I think we did, you know, we chose the right people to do it. But yeah, that one monologue that really stands out. And what else? There was one night where the housekeeper, the elderly housekeeper Rosalia, came in with a tray of plastic glasses, and they all fell over on stage as she came on stage. And so from that night, we always had special adhesive every night underneath the glasses for the rest of the run. Basically, they were stuck to that tray, you know, and they were just like, you know, stripped off as they were handed out. That was funny. We learned.
Definitely a learning process, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a huge learning curve for me. But I was really pleased that I did it, and I did it because my father was besotted with Eduardo Di Filippo, and unfortunately he passed away in March. And I said, right, I'm going to do this for Dad, and I'm going to put this play on, and I'm going to dedicate it to him, and I did it. So there was my directing debut.
Well, it's congratulations.
Yeah. But I just, you know, wanted to see if I could do it, of course, and I wanted to stretch myself as an artist. And I thought, what a great challenge this could be. What a stretch. And so I thought, why not? Let's do it. And it took about 4 or 5 months, the whole process, to get it up, to get the copyrights and etc. So it was an interesting period.
Sounds like you should have used a trip to a spa after that or something.
Yeah, right, exactly. I wish I had time to go. I've been so busy after that. I've been really busy up to Christmas. The whole of Christmas and New Year's, I just did nothing. I just stayed in and just, like, vegetated for the whole period of Christmas. I just didn't. And now it's slowly picking up again, and now it's going to... Hopefully, it's going to be another productive year. You know,
That's wonderful. I'm glad you had the time to come on Madame Perry's show.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, Madame Perry. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but your lovely Jeannie's room, and and talk to you, to everybody here, all the ladies. Yeah, great. I'm happy to be here.
Your temporary harem for the evening.
What an honor! What an honor! I must say.
Well, actually, so there was only one night that you missed when you said you had to go to Manchester for a broadcaster ceremony. Your podcast, the Tino Orsini Show, was nominated for
Best Arts Podcast at the UK Podcasters Award, which was such an honor. And so I went up to Manchester and I went to the ceremony, and I missed the show that night just as well because they had some major technical hitch, and I'm so glad I wasn't there for that night. They had problems with the sound, they had no cue. I was like, okay, it was meant to be then. But yeah, so I was nominated. I started this podcast purely just for fun, and now it's, you know, to be nominated for an award, I mean, that was such a highlight of the year. And it's still ongoing. We've just recorded the 30th episode with an author and publisher over there by the name of Rob Vandermark of Making Books.
Mm-hmm.
And he was my that was my guest this week. But yeah, it's I love it. I love podcasting. I think it's such a great way to just have some friends over and have a chat and just, you know, enjoy each other's company and just share it with the rest of the listening population. You know, it's fantastic. What a fantastic platform, you know.
I do it. Too. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think it's
so
nice that it's available
to
everyone to do. But now your podcast focuses on arts and theater.
Yeah, right. Basically arts, theater, cinema, literature, music, anything that encompasses the creative soul, it could be anything around that sort of category. Yeah, it's good fun.
What do you think, Tino, has been one of your most interesting podcasts?
I had a wonderful conversation with Chris Lemon, who I'm sure you know, is a wonderful actor, and he's currently on tour with his one-man show about his father, Jack Lemon, the wonderful comedic actor, the legendary Jack Lemmon.
Oh,
so I had a wonderful conversation with him, and I think that was pretty special too, because I am still a huge fan of Jack Lemmon's work, and to be able to speak to his son was just such a wonderful experience, you know. But I've had, you know, soap stars from Coronation Street. I've had Hollywood producers of who have worked closely with my idols, Brando and Pacino, and people like that. I've been incredibly interesting and it just such awesome guests, you know. It's just such an honor to have them on the show. It really is. You should come on the show. Where are you going to come? Will you come on the show, Madame Perry?
Sherry? Oh, me? I'd like to ask Sherry. I'd be
honored. We could do like a group episode if you like.
Yeah, we'll bring
that
to your place.
It'd be great.
Yes, you could come over to cold and rainy London, and we could have an English version of your show.
Well, I'm in cold and rainy Asheville, North Carolina right now, so I think I'd rather be in cold and rainy London. That would be fine.
Right, okay.
Hey, little sis, Kim, tag along.
Yes, little sis, of course. Kim, you better. And Kenya and Becky.
I'm here.
You know what we should do,
indeed.
Girl? You know, I have seen,
what?
Kenya, I think we've talked about this, Kenya, but I have seen in stores, you know, where you can buy gift cards, all kind of gift cards, or like for gas or iTunes or stores or whatever, restaurants, that you can buy gift cards for some airlines. And we should tell all our friends that for any event, that's what we wanted to gift, a gift card to airlines. So when we get ready to go to London, like, we'll each have a stack of gift cards. You know, the like in 5 or 10 denominations. We'll have a stack about, you know, 3 feet high going, okay, can I redeem these for a flight to London? We'll have to have some kind of wheel around luggage to bring them all in.
Oh my God! $5 here, $5 there.
Every time I think I get close with my miles, every time I think I get close, they raise the premium for European travel. It just drives me nuts.
Oh, I know. And my husband keeps going. You know, he goes over to see the BBC people a lot for, you know, for on business. And I keep going, can I just kind of go along something? Oh, and by the way, here's somebody else we should bring along with us. Tino, there's a friend of ours, a mutual friend that I wanted to be with us that couldn't make it because she's at an industry. But it's Izzy Church.
Izzy, yes. Well, I had the pleasure to interview about a couple of months ago, just as her book was coming out. Yeah.
Angry Movie Guy. And, Izzy Church is fantastic. And she was also in Madame Perry. And, you know, she's a singer, performer, a writer, musician. I mean, she's also does a lot of the film business. She studied film industry. And so when she told me she had an industry event tonight, she said, I'd love to be on, but I'll be at an industry event at that time. You know, so guys, please keep me on. So I said, well, Tino Orsini will be there, and we'll make a special point of plugging you and Angry Movie Guy, to which she replied, thanks so much. That's wonderful. And then she said, he is, and I'm talking about you, Tina. She said, he is super cool.
Wow, she is too. We had such a lovely chat. We really did. Yeah, she's amazing. And we even had a little competition to give away a signed copy of her book, Angry Movie Guy, to one of my listeners of the show. But yeah, she's amazing. She's so talented. She's you know, like you say, she's a singer, an author, an actor. She's so prolific, and she's a very cool lady. Very cool.
I tell you, Tino, we know the coolest people, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Now we're gonna talk too about. Oh, wait a minute! Somebody just stepped in. Did you guys see the beaded curtains rattle over there? Somebody's trying to get in.
Oh.
I did.
Okay. Can you let somebody in? Would you?
Okay, I've got it. Okay, come in. Welcome to Madame Perry Salon. Woo-hoo. Who do we have? She sent me up for that one, guy.
No, I really didn't. I thought it was Jim Musgrave, so no.
Oh, did you really? Guys, this is my co-host for Everything Relationships. You're calling in. Hi.
Hey, Keith. This is Keith Harper, and he is Kenya's co-host on Everything Relationships.
Yeah, what she said. So, yeah. She said it better than I would say it, so I appreciate that.
Hi, I'm glad you called in. You know we couldn't miss Jennifer's party. Thank you.
Of course not. She's been gone for like ever. So it's good.
You've been gone for like ever. Yeah, you guys got to get me back to Atlanta. All right, Keith, you know, look around the genie bottle here. We've got Sherry Meeks, Kim Meeks, Tino Orsini. We got people from, we got Becky Kyle, and of course, the Queen Diva, your girl. Your sweetheart, Kenya. So
I'm sorry. I was like, you introduced all of us, but you kind of skipped over. We've got the Queen Diva, Madame Perry.
Oh, yeah.
This great party right now.
Yeah. So listen, let's go with Patricia.
On,
you know, I don't
darling.
Like you taking on me.
I know.
Okay, so Keith, what's going on tonight? Did you go to the gym?
Not tonight. It's off night. But I'll definitely be back tomorrow.
All right. And
Jennifer, what he's not telling you is that he actually did go to the gym tonight so he could come and visit you here tonight. Being a little, he's like you, modest as well.
And you know, Keith's brother is just my comedy partner. We make the best comedy team. So I'll tell you what, before we get into, because we still want to talk about we still want to talk about Sherry's book. We want to talk about Becky's book. We'll talk about Kenya's shows. But we also want to hear Kim's music, because right now Kim is in the studio creating an EP at Shadow Sound Studios, right?
Yes, that's right, Jennifer. I'm so excited about it. And I'm working with the incomparable Joey Stuckey, who is just the best producer, musical artist. He is an awesome guitar player, bass player. He's just and his visions for the songs are great. I can't tell you. I'm so excited about this. Hopefully mid-March is when it's going to be coming out.
He is fantastic. So I'd like to go ahead and play one of the songs from your EP. Now, this is the one off of Making Music, the Making Music CD. And this was the first thing I ever heard you do, and it just left me breathless. So
awesome.
The song
Jennifer.
Is called
thank you.
Sleeping Path Can Meet. And you wrote this song as well, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
You're awesome. Thank you.
That is beautiful. So, Jennifer, can I just, you know me so well, so can I just, can I just jump in for 1 second?
Please.
Sure.
Kim, can you come visit my show too?
Yes, definitely.
Can we
yes.
get an interview with you? Can we get one with you as well?
Yes, definitely. Yes. You know where I am. You can always get in touch
okay.
with me. Yes.
Okay. We're gonna bug you until you come and visit us.
Hey, you just name the day and I'll be there, okay?
And now yeah, you see why when all the artists on that CD were on my show, and when I got, and I had never listened to the music before I did the show, and when I started playing it, when I got to the end of her song, it was just dead air. I was speechless.
Oh, thank you.
It is amazing.
Thank you.
That is gorgeous.
Well, y'all are awesome. Thank you. And that actually, that we're re-recording that song because, unfortunately, that particular version is copyrighted is the correct term, to Newtown Macon. Newtown Macon actually owns the copyright. But it's my song, so we're doing a new version of that song, which will be out on the new EP, which is actually going to be called Sleeping with the Past. Be a new version of that out soon, so.
Okay. Fantastic.
I've got to get this. It really, even on my iPhone, it sounds gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Becky.
You guys have a lot of talent in that family, you know.
This is a wonderful family, let me tell you. We're going to have to drive down to Macon, everybody. So, you know what? Now, next we're going to talk about Fanny and Dice from Becky Kyle. Now, Becky, but before you get started, I want to bring somebody else into, I see the little beads, the beaded door strut, shaking again, and my favorite Californian is just walked into Madame Perry's salon. And in case you're wondering why I had this show rated this time, I think it's PG-13 or something like that. It's because of this next guest. He's an author. He owns his own publishing company, a fantastic publishing company. He's one of the most fascinating people I've ever known. He's written these very prolific writers in several genres. No matter what he writes, I love it. This is my dear friend, Jim Musgrave. Jim, welcome.
Yay!
Hi, Jennifer. Hello, friends.
Hi,
Jennifer.
Oh, welcome.
Hi.
I think you know some of the people here, but I'm just going to go through them and see. I know that it's kind of, you know, Jim, you already know it's like Teeny's Bottle here inside Madame Perry's salon, but just so I can kind of go around the cushions, and I know it's kind of low light, a little bit of a Moroccan look in here, but you know Kenya Colbert? You know, Becky Kyle.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hi.
And, Becky Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Hey there.
Hello, author, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. She's her official Amazon name is Rebecca McFarlane Kyle, where she's a top Amazon reviewer. And, you know, she put together the anthology Tales from the Frontline, which is all about dogs and service people and it raises money to help train dogs. Like it's Train a Dog, Save a Warrior, where they train dogs to help wounded vets who've come back and help them out with things like their...
Great.
Yeah. And let's see, Sherry Meeks, the author of Finding Tammy,
mm-hmm.
and Meeks, the musician who just wrote and performed the song we just heard, and a new person to you, I think, a performer, actor... director of and podcast host Tino Orsini's called in from London. So,
hi. Hello.
Hi. How are you? In Jolly.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Good.
Okay. So, Jen has got something going on. So cool. So excited that I just found out about it. Every time I talk to Jen, there's something new going on. So, Jen, I haven't let the cat out of the bag to anybody yet, okay? I promise. So, first, we're going to learn about Fanny and Dice, which I think you may already know about from Becky Kyle. So, Becky, tell us more about Fanny and Dice.
Well, it's a young adult fantasy story. It takes place in the 1800s, late 1800s, where Persephone and Eurydice crawl out of the underworld, literally, and end up in Halifax, South Dakota. So it's basically, the subtitle is From Hades to Halifax. And they have all kinds of adventures in the weird Wild West.
What an interesting concept. How did you, where did the start of that idea come from, Becky?
I think it was sheer desperation. I had a writer's workshop with Peter S. Beagle, who is one of my very favorite authors in the world, the author of The Last Unicorn, Innkeeper's Song, just to name a few. And, you know, you have to submit 5,000 words. And, you know, the thing is, when you're working with somebody like that, your instant reaction is, I am unworthy. I am completely unworthy. And the story came to me whole cloth. The opening chapter came to me whole cloth in a dream. And I thought, okay, I'm just getting up and I'm writing this thing down. And
wow.
I submitted it to him. Had no idea what I was going to do with those 5,000 words. And he said, well, you know, it feels like a novel to me. And I said, well, how am I going to write this? And he said, just let the characters tell their stories. And there it was. I submitted it to my publisher on the 24th of December in 2014. And she said, oh, it'll be several weeks before I get to it. But I read the first chapter and I liked it. And the 26th of December, she emails me again and says, I couldn't stop reading it. I'm taking it for next year.
Oh,
wow.
That was the best signing press I've ever had.
I have a question, Becky, about you.
Yes.
Said Hades, yeah, the literal Hades, right? You're talking about hell?
Hades, the god of the underworld.
Okay,
yes.
So they take their baggage with them, I gather.
yes, quite a bit of gold coin and Cerberus as well.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Smelling of sulfur.
No doubt, there's quite a bit of fire and brimstone in this novel.
Right. So cool.
Thank you.
Kids will love that.
It just made it onto the top 100 for science fiction and fantasy Greek mythology this week. And I'm, you know, my fingers are crossed. I'm hoping I go a little bit further down those numbers.
Becky, I know I'm going to be buying it after you gave the synopsis of the book. I mean, it's so intriguing. It's so intriguing. So I hope you keep climbing up the charts.
Thank you so much. If you buy it, PM me and I will send you an autographed label for it, or buy it from me if you want to.
Okay, I'll do that. I will do that, Becky. That sounds great. It's so cool that it came from a dream, that it started with a dream. I mean, you never know where inspiration is going to come from.
A long time ago, I bought a book called How to Write While You Sleep, and it's based upon lucid dreaming to write.
Mm.
And,
wow.
You know, you'd think that this is kind of hokey, but I am working in collaboration with this amazing young adult author, J.A. Campbell, Julie Campbell, who's co-edited a couple of anthologies with me as well. And we started a new book last night at midnight.
Oh,
and,
wow.
it was based on the
good time for lucid dreaming.
Yeah, good time for lucid dreaming. You know, and I literally went to bed after we chatted and talked about the new book, the ideas, And, you know, she said, well, you know, we don't have to get started anytime soon. We need to finish what we've got. And I, you know, texted her today and said, I hate to tell you this, there are 4,500 words in that file today just from what I dreamed last night.
Becky, are you familiar? Are you familiar with Robert Olin Butler? He's an author, and he also teaches in Florida, Florida uh-huh. State. Anyway, he talks about the book that really influenced me. Talks all about writing from your dream space, you know, from where you dream, and it's exactly what you're talking about. You know, the lucid dreaming state of being, writing in the moment to moment, you know, dream state. And he just preaches that over and over. That's amazing.
Jim, I have read that book. That is an excellent book. I know exactly what you're talking about. And
you know what I'm talking about.
Well, he doesn't almost say, but he says throw away anything that isn't written in that kind of dream state that you're talking
That's
about.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to me. And Becky, you picked up on it without even reading that book.
Yeah.
I read a different book. It was called How to Write While You Sleep, and I can't remember the author's name, but now I want to know the name of this one.
Yeah, it's actually a transcript of his course that he did with a bunch of students, and they made a book out of it. It's called From Where You Dream, Robert Olin Butler. He won the Pulitzer Prize for a book of stories about his time in about Vietnamese people who moved to America, the boat people, so to speak. But
oh my God.
Tremendous writer and teacher also.
All right, Jim, you know I've got this secret project of yours I've been sitting on since last night since you told me. Are we going to let this out? I know, Becky. You're right to get excited about it. So are you gonna lay it on us now?
Okay. It's kind of scary for me because I'm writing as a female with female consciousness. My son really got a kick out of it, started laughing. I think I can pull it off. You know, we like challenges as authors, and I think this will be one of my biggest if I can do it. I wrote the backstory today, so I'm kind of pleased with it. But I got the idea when I was writing a story for a competition, New York City Midnight Madness. I forget what they call it, Midnight Short Story Contest, where they get authors from all over the world, and then you have like 8 days to write a story, you know, with a different genre in each heat. You know, you get about 50 people in a heat, and then you write. You're challenged. Anyway, so I had to write a fantasy, and I had never written fantasy. I come close, you know, with steampunk and so forth, with magical stuff. But I had never written a fantasy. So I wrote this, and you know how things connect, you know, like in a dream. I know Carl Jung talks about, you know, there's nothing that's not meaningful to you, including the dream state. So I was, you know, in my dream space writing the story, and I came up, and then I had a female character who lives in a forest. She's the shamaness, and she's the heroine in the story. Then I started reading this article in the New York Times about an author who made it big self-publishing, and she wrote romantic erotica. And so I started gobbling up her stories, her books, and looking at them, and see how they're written. And then I thought, wow, I've got this tool in my tool chest with my application that allows one to write interactive plots inside your story so that the reader can make choices. And, you know, the old choose your own adventure type story, my son turned me on to that. He was a big fan of choose your own stories. So I thought, why not combine some popular elements at the time, being the Game of Thrones, that kind of fantasy setting, and then the whole idea of women making sexual conquests, you know, over kings. I mean, it's in the Bible, you know, with... So that's what this is. It's an interactive game where the reader gets to help this woman who's a shamaness to go around to the different kingdoms and literally seduce each king. And they learn before each chapter the picadillos and the psychological makeup of the king for the day, you know, the conquest of the day. And then she makes choices. And based on her choices and her tools, so to speak, that she uses. She can advance in the story toward her goal of conquering eight kings. Once she's able to conquer eight kings, she's able to stop war and, you know, the madness going on between the different rivalries. And so that's basically what it's going to be. And so I'm kind of, you know, everybody I tell it to gets kind of laughing and, hey, I want to read it. And so that's cool.
Sounds really cool.
Sam, I think you're going to turn it into a video game.
I thought it was a video game.
It's going to have a lot of that. Yeah, I'm working with my developer now, and he says, well, we can do this, you know. And so it may work into a bit of a video game type. But I think women enjoy the verbal, you know, getting into their heads more than men. So I'm not going to go too far. She's a strong character, though.
Jim, you might want to explain, you talk about your application, your...
Yeah, the application is basically, it's the first mobile publishing and marketing app for authors and publishers. And I just made a sale today, as a matter of fact, from Israel, the largest distributor of publishers' ebooks in Israel. And of course, in Israel, he told me, one of the first things he told me, Yaron Goldstein told me, was that Israel never had Amazon. They didn't have the whole Kindle deal, you know, with the, I call it the elephant in the room now, you know, Amazon. But so when I said, you know, well, with my app, you won't have to pay the 30%, you know, to Amazon on the sales you make inside your app. And he says, you know, well, I've never paid that. You know, we never had Amazon. So that was awesome, you know, but
you created this, Jim, for Emory Publishing.
Yes. Yeah, I found a genius developer in the Netherlands named Bas van Stein, and he just listened to me, and I said, you know, I want this, I want that, and this is what's great for authors, and so he made it, you know. And so we worked really well together creating the app, and now it's here, and I'm going to go to the BEA in May with my son.
Yeah.
We're going to kind of show it off.
Yeah,
we've got these
t-shirts. You about that.
Yeah, we've got these t-shirts with, I've got the old Tarzan, me Tarzan, you Jane, we get you out of Amazon jungle, you know. That kind
of thing. Great. That could be the best.
So we should cause a little uproar there. Yeah.
Well, too many of the authoring tools, the reviewing tools, etc. The self-publishing tools all belong to Amazon now. It's kind of frightening how big a monopoly it is.
They're driving us to do this, you know, basically the way they're treating especially self-publishers, you know, and independents, they're screwing them over, basically, from what I hear from fellow authors. And,
well, I mean, they went after Hachette and Macmillan and really put the screws to their authors because, you know, the new releases from really popular authors weren't for sale on Amazon. So their readers who were used to buying from Amazon didn't know they were available, couldn't get them. The authors were having to reach around via Twitter and Facebook and other social media to try to get their readers to go elsewhere to go buy their books because their royalties were literally in down the tubes because Amazon was having a contest, pissing contest, literally with Macmillan or Hachette or whoever their publisher was at that time. And, you know, the independents don't even have that kind of leverage with them.
No. And if we have leverage, it's with our followers, you know. And so an app is an ideal thing to get your followers signed in on you as a brand rather than, you know, the publisher as a as an umbrella, so to speak. And so anyway, I think it's a pretty cool idea. And my heart was for the independents, you know, the independent struggling authors who want to... So anyway, I'm pitching this idea to my book idea, the interactive sex fantasy book, to Meredith Wild, the Wild Lady, I call her. But reading the New York Times article about how she made it big at self-publishing her erotic romances.
That sounds like fun.
It's
I don't even want erotica, but I would definitely be reading that one. I would be doing that one.
Me too. But Jen, this is Kenya. I thank you so much for explaining a little bit more about the Israel thing. I saw that post, and I was so happy for you. I really just didn't understand the magnitude of what you were doing. I would have said a whole lot more than just the light. Congrats. That's pretty cool.
It's so new. There's a high learning curve. You know what I mean? The whole deal is so new because there literally is no app like that for publishers or authors. And what you can do with our app is basically with the turnkey operation, if you're a publisher, say, with 50 authors, you can give them each their own store and their own space inside this app and set up, you know, your pricing right inside the app and run the whole Somil, you know, the whole kit and caboodle, and right inside the app and collect everything. Everything is for you to directly deposit in your bank account as you set it up with Stripe. It's very easy with Stripe. It's a lot easier than PayPal. They take less money per purchase. And
no, that's good too.
Very interesting.
I've never heard
Jim.
Of Stripe.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's all right.
The book sounds really. I'm with Becky. I think that was Becky who was like, I'm very interested in the interactive part of the women's
cool.
I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this.
You got your imagination going, yeah.
Well, you picked my interest.
Yeah, if you need beta testers, I'm a natural blower of any kind of software.
Especially coming from hell, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, somebody with my imagination, you need me to beta test this.
There you go.
Hey, you know, you're so glad you
this
came
on. This is Sherry.
On.
I think,
Tino.
I think the fact that it's interactive is what makes it so different. You know?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're often starring in bodice rippers that women read, you know, and it's kind of like we, you know, they grab us,
right.
You know, the heavily sued barbarian grabs us up, and you know,
hey, I'm looking up my Karma Sutra right now. I tell you,
this is gonna be a fun game. Wow.
mantra that you know, we actually can say yes, and we actually can go out and do what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can be in control, because she took over like 9 kings, right?
You got to get 8.
Well,
look
know,
at me.
Kenya's feeling greedy. You know, I think she wants
more. I was about to say that.
but it's all in the name of peace, right? Right.
Exactly.
Totally. And I've got a whole backstory about peace and brotherhood. And yeah, not like Spike Lee. He was great with Liz Estrada.
Oh, man.
I'm conquering kings for peace. That's it. I'm seducing these kings for peace. I could go for this.
Hey, Kim, I haven't heard from you. Kim? Kim Meeks, are you still
here? I'm
here.
I'm just absorbing the, you know, what do you call it? Name your own adventure, you know,
yeah.
Sex
yeah.
fantasy.
Choose your own. Yeah.
Choose
your own sexual fantasy. Yeah.
It's going to be a big hit, Jim.
She's sitting back on the pillows with this look on her face like,
I think I hear Chief back there laughing. Chief?
No, I just said I do like the idea. It's a good concept. It's actually brilliant. So, no, I might. Actually, you might have to come on our show and talk about it. And you said it like Game of Thrones. I got some diehard Game of Thrones fans. So,
yeah, and
instead of
got adolescent sex all
Game
through that Game of Thrones.
I'm sure there are fans of sex too, but I know they're diehard Game of Thrones fans. So,
well, as Peter Dinklage described it, it's stabby, 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 sexy, sexy, sexy.
Yeah,
okay.
That sounds like Game of Thrones.
All right,
so Jim, are you in? Because he just stole my. Keith just jumped in and stole my little question. So, are you in? Can you come?
Yeah.
To where?
Keith invited you to our show to come on and talk about your book. And
yeah,
Keith
like, has a podcast for adults on Friday night.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Now, that's what Keith and I, we have everything relationships. And that's what he was talking about. Yeah, we'd love for you to come on and talk about your book.
Okay, that'd be cool.
Good project.
Yeah.
Good project. Actually, while I have the floor, Kim, and I've invited Kim. You guys are all welcome to come to our show and visit sometime. So I haven't had Becky on yet, and I love Becky, so I need her. And Jim, I watch you from behind the scenes.
Whatever, Kenya.
She needs me.
No, and I've been on the show, which I love being on the show, Kenya, by the way. This is Sherry.
Oh, my gosh, Sherry. You. Sherry came on our show, guys, and we had so much fun. It ended up being girls against guys because
we're just like
battle of the sexes, but we had a great interview. We loved your book. I mean, it went with the show topic so well. And, guys, I'll tell you, guys, one thing that we do on Everything Relationships is whatever your project is, we make that our topic for the night. So everything we talk about is about, it'll interact with whatever you're bringing to the show. So keep that in mind. But, okay, moving on. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, because we're about to run out of time. We're about to run out of time. Two things to get to before we get out of time. First of all, Tino Orsini, are you still with us?
Of course, I'm still here, yes.
Are you still glad you're here?
I'm still glad I'm here, yes.
I'm
loving it.
And another thing. And just Kenya, you only come on my shows to steal my guest. You know, we all know that.
I'm sorry. That's a compliment. That is a compliment.
Yes, it is.
Because you always get the best people, so...
I'm just... Kenya, wait. Am I just a gateway drug to your show?
That sounds bad. It's getting nasty now.
That sounds so bad. My way sounds so much better. well.
Everybody here. All right, we're going to move it on over to Kenya's place next. And then we're going to go, eventually, we're going to go to San Diego to Jim's, and then we'll go to London to Tino's.
Yes.
While we still have some time left, of course, you know, my co-host is on a book tour, and we've been calling it, because at first, we're in Barnes & Noble doing shows now, I mean, doing events now for her. But and I always call
it. Maybe it's a show. It might be a show.
It is a show. And
it is a show.
Hey, look, I'm the one, you know, Becky, you know, my first book client, Carrie Dunn, I used to hire burlesque performers to come and read with him because he was too shy, and I figured that would take the pressure off of him in one way, at least, because people would be focusing on her, on the burlesque queen. Sometimes I had to perform, sometimes I had to be, oh, I did that for you too, Jim Musgrave, didn't I? I had burlesque performers read
That's
it.
That's right.
At the first event. You for forevermore.
They almost shut us down before we started.
I know. Hey, I wish they had.
Is that again for his new book?
Band in San Diego.
That would have been great publicity. Yeah.
I know. Next time we'll have the stage, you know, being shut down or something. Have some fake cops come in, then they were actually strippers. But yeah, I had burlesque. I had three people from the Hell on Hills burlesque troupe. In San Diego at the first thing I did with Jim at Upstart Club.
They actually were very good. They read well and great segue.
Yeah, got great pictures on there. And so that's why I say I never like to call it an author's book signing because that sounds like you're just sitting behind a table waiting for somebody to come out of you to sign it. We make it an event. Everything's an author event because they're going to read, they're going to talk to you. Sometimes we have music, like when we had Kim perform at Sherry's thing, and we're going to have it some more, or when I had the burlesque performers. And sometimes I even sang before yours and before Carrie's, Jim. So yeah, it's an author event. So you're on, but now we call it the Wildly Unconventional Book Tour because Sherry started at unconventional places like a wine bar, a Mexican restaurant, a wellness center, the bookstore with dogs, and champagne bar. The wildly unconventional.
A
couple of coffee house art gallery and a coffee house art gallery in Atlanta, Decatur, and heck, we'd do it. You know, we'd do a break and lube place, whatever. Just a
Exactly.
But now she's doing a podcast, and she's also doing Barnes & Noble. But tell us what your book is called Finding Cambry. Tell us what it's about.
Okay, it is called Finding Cambry, and it's about a woman who has lost her young son, and her perfect marriage falls apart because of it. And that's actually where the book starts. And so it's her journey to find out who she is after this tragedy, and she does this through one wrong man after another, and there's a lot of laughs in the book, even though it's a heavy subject, it definitely is, but she keeps her sense of humor, so there's a lot of laughter in the book, which I think is the case even after, you know, something as tragic as that. I mean, I think, you know, that's part of her resilience as the character of Cambry, is that she does keep her sense of humor, and there's a lot of hope in the book too, which you know, it's just how the book worked out. And I actually started the book without realizing it. I started probably on the third or fourth chapter, which is also the third or fourth short story, because it's a book in stories. So I started kind of toward the middle of the book without realizing it in a creative writing class by writing about one of the husbands. And Cambry was in that story, and then I realized she was the main character, and it just went from there.
Mm-hmm. Leap
and
forward,
so,
fall
and,
back.
And it's a great story, guys. Great story.
Oh, thank you, Kenny.
Gotta pick that one up.
I need to as well.
Mm.
Yeah, it's great, and you know, it's not just because I'm her sister. It is awesome, so.
Well, you're her sister, and if you say it's good, you know, that maybe even be a better endorsement.
That's true. Right.
And she's probably read it. Kim's probably proofed it, I don't know, 10 times at least. So for her to keep
saying
that, I really appreciate it.
I still love it.
If you,
oh, yeah, it's great.
If you can
understand it. The one thing that I learned about anthology editing is I have to know when I am, you know, perusing 80 or 100 or 200 submissions, can I stand reading this thing 5 or 6 or 10 times? Because that's literally what it takes. That's very true. I haven't
thought about that, Becky, but that's really true. And so you really know if a piece is strong after you read that many, correct? After you read it that many times?
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And you still enjoy it?
Yeah. If you still enjoy it after you've read it to the point where you know what's going to happen next and you're still feeling a little bit breathless about it, it's a good piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true. That's just like Tina was talking about earlier about, you know, it's the art's always interrelated, and it's so interesting how things are organic. But when he was talking about the speech that one of his actors gave every night, that it, you know, caught him every time. It caught him in the throat. And, you know, I think you're right. If it is a good piece of writing, you read it again and again, and it just, you know, it gets you over and over again. Just like Flannery O'Connor, the reason why she's one of the most well-known authors in the world.
Oh, she's amazing.
You know, you read her work again, and I teach her, too. I teach Flannery O'Connor. But
yeah, I taught her as well. Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. And I'm from Georgia, so she's big here. In fact, where I got my bachelor's from, that's where she went to school, was in at Georgia College. But she's, you know, you just read her work, and it still sticks with you 2 or 3, 4 days later. I mean, it's hilarious.
Too. Good manners hard to find.
I grew up.
Exactly. It's hilarious.
She was one of the authors
also,
my grandfather taught me to read.
What's that?
She was one of the authors my grandfather taught me to read.
The book was handed down from
my grandfather and his 2 sisters. I would get them after they were done. And, you know, one of them would sign B, one of them would sign O, and when he was done with it, it would have an X at the end of it, and then he'd hand them over to me. So I had paperbacks, these well-worn paperbacks that had box on the front cover.
All right, guys, so cool. We've got 1 minute and 54 seconds left, so I want to go through and thank everybody. And for anybody listening now or listening later, remember we're free for downloads on iTunes. And I want you to be a follower, subscriber of Madam Perry Salon. I am so grateful to have all the guests here on the Unusual Suspects right again into Madam Perry Salon. I want to start with my best friend, Kenya Colbert, and her sweetheart.
My best friend. Yes, right.
Thank you, guys. I enjoy
talking to you guys.
Remember when they have a podcast they do together called Everything Relationships on Friday night, and then Kenya has a children's show on Saturday afternoon called Through the Looking Glass. Don't put Jim Musgrave on the wrong show, okay? Put him on the adult, not the children's show.
Yeah.
You're banned from the airwaves.
Careful with that.
Yeah, not good. Jim Musgrave, whom I love, is a great writer.
Either.
Get anything of Jim Musgrave's you can get your hand on and read. Forevermore, Tales from Catalina, Zombies of San Diego. Also, Kim Meeks. Thank you so much, Kim Meeks, for your beautiful music. We can't wait for your EP. We're looking forward to it. Becky Kyle, Tales from the Frontline, Fanny and Dice, Under a Dark Sign. We love you. Keep on writing. Tina Orsini, we are going to be watching for your film Mona, directed by Anthony Abua, and for more of your work. And remember, folks, Mona is in the African film, being featured in the African Film Festival in Belgium and in Luxor, Egypt. Tina Orsini also has a podcast called The Tina Orsini Show. Please check it out. We got 18 seconds. Sherry Meeks, author of Finding Tambry, and she is still considered a wildly unconventional bookstore. So check out my people.
Peace out, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
The call.
probably do. I haven't even looked over there yet. Oh, sweet honey.
I'm treating you.